Ghost come to my rescue quick before I sin in charging God with foolishness. That voice that told me, give her life, whispered to me and says, I have given her life at your word, eternal life. What else are you going to ask for when you get that? Isn't that the objective? Praise God, it sure is. He gave her life. That was a comforter. That's when he comforts you. Other times he warns you. Did you know that? He'll warn you of things that are yet to come. In the 16th chapter of John, verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And this is what he says he does. And when he has come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they don't believe on me. Of righteousness because I'd go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world, that's the devil, is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, that's another one of the designations, that's the title for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. When he has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He'll show you things to come. He'll glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. What a wonderful, infinite helper to have with us without fail, no vacations. Lord, have mercy. You don't go to sleep. He's always with us. Lord, have mercy. People ashamed of the Holy Ghost because he speaks in languages that some old dickens don't understand. I don't care whether they understand it or not. I write the book back here, The Baptism of the Holy Ghost. He saved my life during World War II. They was getting ready to send me into combat. The Holy Ghost came on me one day trying to talk to my captain in the company that I was in, and the division is being sent overseas in the South Pacific. Holy Ghost came on me and I began to speak in tongues as he was giving me the devil because I wouldn't shoot pool and I wouldn't play craps, as they call it, throwing dice. I wouldn't drink beer and I wouldn't smoke a cigar. He offered me a cigar and I said, no, I'm not going to smoke no cigar. He said, what ails you? I said, I'm a Christian. He said, Jesus Christ would smoke a cigar. What's wrong with you? I said, well, my Jesus wouldn't. Boy, he started fussing at me and cussing me and everything else. And I started, and everything he'd ask me, I'd speak back to him in tongues. I couldn't even speak in English. And that went on for about 4 hours. They drugged me down to the three different chaplains, a Catholic, a Lutheran, and an Assembly of God chaplain. And went through them. They didn't have no understanding of nothing. Then I went to a psychiatrist, and there they left me for 2 weeks. Well, let me tell you something. They'd ask me something, I'd speak in tongues, and I'd twist my tongue, and it wouldn't come out in English. The psychiatrist got a hold of me and said, hey, this guy's crazy. So you can't send him overseas. He can't go fight them Japs. He'll let all of you get killed. You're going to leave him here with me. Whoa, that old 32nd Infantry Division, overseas they went. And I stayed. Praise God. It was raining. It was wintertime. 1944, them troops marching, going, boy, down to the ship to get on that old ship. Me laying up there in that old mental ward. Hey, cadence! Hop, two, three, four. Cadence! Hop, two, three, four. And it raining, them old helmets on, their gear. Oh, God. Crazy or not crazy, I'd rather be here. Praise God. I was laid up there and rejoiced. If the Holy Ghost hadn't come on me, I'd have been gone. And other times in my life, the Lord spoke to me through the Spirit, told me not to do certain things and to do certain things that I obeyed. Somebody says, how you know you would have got killed? How you know something terrible would have happened? I don't never want to find out. And I ain't going to. If the Holy Ghost speaks to me, I ain't going to do what he tells me not to do to say, well, I believe I'll go and find out. No, I don't want to find out. No way. I've had this same spirit to speak to me when I was broke and in need as a young preacher, trying to get up in the church and get qualified by the Lord with experience and knowledge and go to revivals, and preachers would keep the money that folks like you given me in an offering. Keep it. And I'd go home broke. Tell my wife. They had no money, the rent not paid, no food. I'd had to jump the old fishing boat down on the Sarasota Bay in Cortez and go fishing. Only have 2 or 3 days before the next revival. Me go out there and know where to catch fish? No! That little voice would come to me. You go up there in that place and run that net around them docks, or run your net across the corner there and see what happens. Me been out there like them disciples, toiling all night, no fish, no money. Yes, sir, Lord. Get up there and fasten that net and take in a big old corner and beat the boat, and you see them corks are jiggling out there in that net full of them big old fish. Clear it out, go home, sell them, give them wife some money, and take off for the next revival. Praise God. Lord, yeah. Holy Ghost, keep talking to me. Praise God. I learned that little voice a long time ago. Praise God. I don't go around telling everybody everything. Lord knows. I was down there fishing one day about 7 or 8 years ago. Had Chris with me, my son. We had that net full of fish. And I started hurting like I was having a heart attack. And I was telling him how to run that boat to get us home, get that net back on. If I died or got disabled there suddenly, I just felt like I was dying. And that little old voice, he don't always tell you something you want to hear. He might tell you something you don't want to hear. That little voice spoke to me and says, if you would quit drinking coffee, you would quit hurting. Well, that was a comfort and a rebuke both, because I knew then I wasn't dying, because I wasn't going to drink no more coffee. That was the end of that. And I don't go around preaching against drinking coffee. The Holy Ghost didn't tell me I had to quit drinking coffee, but he said, if you want to quit hurting, then quit drinking that coffee. That's what's making you hurt, in other words. Praise God. I quit. 3 days later, the old pain was gone. Ain't none there now either, because I didn't drink no coffee. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I ain't going to go on and tell you all that. Word of God is what you got to hear. All right. Whenever we're saved, the Holy Ghost has the greatest part in it in convicting us to bring us to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12 and 3, Paul the Apostle says, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord or his Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, he's got to help you. You ain't going to get there. It's by the Holy Ghost. And you know what he calls him in Romans 8:15? For we have not received the spirit again of fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of adoption. With his help, we're adopted into the family of God. Praise the Lord. But you always remember, the Holy Ghost can constrain you. He will constrain you. Or he will restrain you to do or do not things that are pleasing to God. That's what he's for. A teacher. He's a restrainer, a convictor, a reprover. He's called the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of holiness, the Comforter. Praise God. What designations to one of the most perfect helpers God could ever give to one of his selections. You ever seen that in the store? Them big old cookies called selections. You know what? We're selected. God elected or selected us out of millions of people. But you remember your calling, brethren, how not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He don't call them big shots out here, them wiseacres. Don't even call them. And then remember, many are called, and then only a few out of that many are chosen to go on with God and to stay in that select group called God's elect. Praise God. You've not chosen me, Jesus said, but I've chosen you. And by the way, you in this ministry here today, you didn't choose to be here. God sent you here. God called you to be a helper. God called you to be an asset to the work of the kingdom of God. And God harnesses that energy of yours and puts you here so that you would have some discipline. In other words, as Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Yoke means discipline. So you can be controlled by the Holy Ghost. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, comparatively speaking, and my burden is light. Praise God. And when we're yoked up to the Lord, it's going to be because the Holy Ghost makes us, takes that old rebel out of us, and puts that spirit of submission in us, a contrite spirit and a broken heart, or a broken heart and a contrite spirit, which are the sacrifices of God. God called us. God chose us because he saw something in us that he could use. Now he explains it like this in Romans 8, beginning in verse 28, your favorite scripture in the Bible, or it ought to be. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To who? That's not a period there. I've heard preachers quote that and they stop like it's a period there. No, there's no period there. To them who are the called, the elect, God's election, according to his purpose. God has a purpose for your life when he calls you, and somehow his foreknowledge tells him, hey, he'll do what I want him to do. He'll do what I want him to do. In 1 Peter 2 and 7, the Bible calls Jesus God's elect, a foundation stone, precious elect. Do you think if Jesus was God's, well, most illustrious in all of his chosen to be his sons or daughters? Don't you think we're precious in his sight too? Don't you think we're precious and chosen of God? Praise God. Man, if you can't get the idea that God loves you and you're precious to him, that you're like the apple of his eye. Back old David said, whoever told David, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. In other words, sticks his finger in my eye.